We're now approaching the most solemn part of this day's service, the commemorating of the death of Christ according to his own command to his disciples. May this do in remembrance of me. So as often as eat this bread and drink this cup, you to show the Lord's death till he come. Now it is clear from the words of institution that this ordinance is for Christ's disciples, for those who have a hope that they are in the chariot, that the Lord delivered them from the Egypt of a state of nature, and that they are closed into him as their only hope for time and for eternity, who are fully satisfied with God's way of salvation, and who desire no other way but the way set forth in the everlasting gospel. Those who show that they are not Christ, they prove by their walk and conversation that they are not the Lord's, these such are debarred from this holy table. The Lord himself has fenced this table, and we have the distinction made in his word put between those who have a right and a warrant to come to the Lord's table and those who have no such right. All have a right and a warrant to come to the gospel table, to come to Christ as he is freely offered in the everlasting gospel. No sinner can say that he has no warrant to come to see Christ and to come to Christ. But if the sinner had no warrant to come to Christ, then he would not be condemned for not coming. But the invitation is given, and all things are now ready, come ye to the feast. And the Lord has said also, the things which are impossible with men, they are possible with God. Although it is impossible for us to believe of ourselves, the things which are impossible with men, they are possible with God. For with God all things are possible. And those who make excuse, as Christ makes clear in the parable of the marriage feast, all who make excuse shall be shut out eternally. Thou art without excuse, O man, whosoever thou art. These men who are making excuses for not coming to the marriage feast, they didn't deny that there was no such feast. They spoke quite respectfully. Oh, they said, one said he had a piece of land. He had bought a piece of land and he must needs go and see it. Another had bought a yoke of oxen. Another man had his merchandise to attend to. Another man had married his wife. And they made their excuses. And all these matters were matters lawful in themselves. But these people were putting their lawful concerns before the salvation is in Christ. Before Christ, in all things he must have the preeminence. And when they made excuses, their oxen and their land and their merchandise and so on, these were the things that loomed large in their estimation. These were the first things that had to be attended to. And they were thereby showing that they were not to give in obedience to the command of the Saviour, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. For God is the God of providence, and when we seek him first in his kingdom, all other things shall be added unto you. But as when we put the world before the gospel, then the danger is that we shall lose not only our own souls, that we shall lose the world also. Those who live for the world, they shall lose the world and they shall lose their souls. Fortunate prophet, amen, should he gain the whole world and lose his own soul, or what the men give in exchange for his soul. It comes to my mind that when they were building the temple, the second temple, people were concerned with building their own houses and seeing to their own comforts, and they, instead of giving money for the building of God's temple, they were keeping the money for their own private uses, and they expected to have a good, that they would have much. But the Lord said that they were putting the money into a bag with holes, or as it's in the margin, into a whole bank. He was putting in his providence, in the good ruling of his providence, putting a hole in the bank. And he said to them, he expected to have much, but it came to little. It came to little. And why? Because of my house that is waste. But they were not honoring the Lord with their substance and with the first fruits of all their increase. Then they would, their barns would be filled with plenty, and their wine presses would flow forth. But they were withholding from the Lord what was the Lord's due. And thereby, as the Lord says in Malachi, robbing God of what was his due, and instead of having temporal prosperity and having much, what they hoped they were thereby saved, it was coming to little. The Lord was putting a hole in the bag which they were hoarding, what they should have given to the Lord and to his cause. If a person saw that they have no regard, that the cause of Christ is not their cause, and the cause which they seek to have uppermost, the good of his cause, and who are more afraid of bringing a reproach upon his cause than they are of death, then they are debarred from the stable. Also, you show clearly that Christ is not precious to them, and that he is not precious to them in his cause, and not precious to them in the means of his appointment, and precious in his people. They show that they are not the Lord's people, and they are therefore debarred from the state. The persons who have break. The Lord says, if you love me, to his disciples, if you love me, keep my commandments. And that is the desire of his people, as we already mentioned. But those who blaspheme God's name, who have no regard for God's holy day, they clearly show that what regard can they have for this holy ordinance? The Sabbath is the divine memorial to Christ's resurrection from the dead, and the sacrament of the Lord's Supper is the memorial of his death, and his death and his resurrection cannot be separated, neither can these memorials, the holy Sabbath and the holy sacrament. But persons are persons, and they can trample God's day underfoot and have no regard for God's holy day, and they've come on a communion Sabbath to the Lord's table, and thinking coming that they're thereby qualifying themselves for heaven. For as the truth declares that they are but eating and drinking damnation to themselves, not discerning the Lord's body, the show clear to them no spiritual discernment. They were never brought to see that if the Lord would deal with them according to their sins, they would perish eternally, and that there could be no salvation for them, or for lost and perishing sinners, apart from Christ's body being broken and his blood being shed, that they have no discernment of God's way of salvation, that they are hoping to be saved by works of their own. And this is the case in many nowadays, that no matter how they may desecrate God's day, that if they go to the Lord's table, this will bring them to heaven. They partake of the sacrament, and they're baptized, and they come to the Lord's table, and they hope thereby to get to heaven. They show that they have no discernment, no spiritual discernment, for those who are his people, they know that till about the Lord's table every Sabbath in the year, that would not bring them to heaven, but would add to their damnation in hell, apart from their being found in Christ and under the apostle covering of his blood, that no acts of devotion that they may offer can make an atonement for the souls. And those who come to the table, it's in the way of seeking to give to show forth the thankfulness to the Lord, that this is their desire. What shall I render to the Lord for all his gifts to me? That they seek to be there's this discernment, there's a spirit of thankfulness. That person seeks to finds himself under obligation to live not unto himself but unto the Lord. And he seeks to show forth his thankfulness to the Lord for all his gifts to him. And the psalmist did put the question, what shall I render to the Lord for all his gifts to me? He is led through the Holy Spirit to say, I not salvation take the cup, and not God's name will call. I'll pay my vows now to the Lord before his people all. But this is the thanksgiving, the special way that Christ instituted, in which his people would seek to show their gratitude to him, their thanks to him, for what he did. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. They may seek to sing his praise and to bless and magnify his name. But there's this special way that the Lord himself has ordained, in which they would seek to show forth their thankfulness to him. And not only their thankfulness to him, but that they will be commemorating what he did for them, commemorating his death, and until he come again. Persons who have no sense of thankfulness to the Lord, and who are not examining themselves as to further in the faith, and who are sure that they are blind to God's way of salvation, that they are going about in one way or another to establish their own righteousness, and who are not submitting to the righteousness of Christ, and seeking to have him alone as their portion of their righteousness, such are debarred from the table. Persons who are guilty of the breach of the second commandment and the second table of the law, these commandments, these holy commandments, they're read oftentimes in churches on a communion Sabbath. We usually go over these commandments. The spirituality of these commandments is brought out by the Savior in his Sermon on the Mount. Those should not be guilty of actual murder. If we cherish hatred to our brother in our heart, that is a breach of the sixth commandment. And if a person looks after a woman to lust after her, that he is guilty of adultery in his heart. The law is spiritual, and the law takes cognizance of the sins that we commit in our hearts. And that is what is agreed to his people. Although they would not be actually guilty of what they find within, in the light, in the looking glass of God's law, they say concern the law solely, just and good. But I am carnal, sold under sin, and that cries to the Lord for cleansing, that cries to the Lord for deliverance, that cries to the Lord that he would of his mercy slay their spiritual foes, that he would subdue their iniquities, and that he would receive them graciously, and that he would enable them to live not unto themselves but unto him. But persons who are, you can break these commandments and live in any of these things, they show that they are debarred from the state. Persons who live in secret sin, the drunkards, they can go to the pub, and that's a public sin. Well, all such are debarred from the solitude. But all who are guilty of living in secret sin, the shower that they have not the prayer of the psalmist, search me and try me, and see if there be any evil way in me, and lead me in thine everlasting way. That although sin seeks to obtain the dominion over them, their cry is, and their confession is oftentimes, iniquities I must confess, prevail against me, do. But they're looking to the Lord for strength and for cleansing. And also the other commandments in connection with dishonesty, and which are the eighth commandment, and the other commandments, bearing false witness, and the sin of covetousness. These are sins which the Lord condemns. It is truth that we should be careful what witness we bear concerning our neighbor, for in bearing what is false, in declaring what is false, that we are breaking one of God's commandments, and that the Lord will deal with all such. Now they are, on the other hand, persons who have a hope that Christ has become precious to them, and that he is all their salvation, and all their desire. They are invited to the Lord's table. They are a poor and afflicted people, oftentimes tempted and cast down, but their hope is in the name of the Lord. And without continuing much further on this, I shall just mention what I quoted before when endeavoring to speak from the verse of our text. What I read at a godly minister in Scotland, the Reverend John McLean, who was Big McLean, what he said in connection with his chariot. And he said that Christ in the chariot of the gospel, the chariot of salvation, was passing through this world. The Holy Spirit, he said, was a driver, and Christ was in the chariot. But it's the Holy Spirit who can make effectual the gospel to the salvation of our souls. And as they were driving in this chariot through the wilderness of this world, they came across a person by the wayside, and this person was mourning and groaning, and they stopped and asked what the matter was. This person said, I am what was his complaint? Oh, the hardness of my heart. The hardness of my heart. Christ said to the Holy Spirit, stop, blessed driver, and bring him into the chariot. They go on further, and they find another person. And this person is groaning and complaining. And unbeknownst to the nature of his complaint, oh, his unbelief. How much unbelief he had. And Christ said to the Holy Spirit, stop, blessed driver, bring him into the chariot. He came across another person, and his complaint was his ignorance of spiritual matters. How ignorant and dark he was finding himself. And Christ said, stop, blessed driver, bring him into the chariot. Then they came across another. And this person's complaint was, how little love we had to Christ, if any at all. How little love. This was his complaint. Christ said to the Holy Spirit, stop, blessed driver, and bring him into the chariot. They came across another, and his complaint was that he was afraid that he never came to a saving knowledge of Christ. And Christ said, stop, blessed driver, and bring him into the chariot. They came across another, and his complaint was his backslidings. Oh, my backslidings, my backslidings. Christ says to the Holy Spirit, stop, blessed driver, and bring him into the chariot. They came across another, and his complaint was the awfulness of his heart. Oh, what an awful heart he had. And Christ said the same, stop, blessed driver, bring him into the chariot. Another's his complaint was, the Lord has forsaken me. And Christ said, in connection with that person, stop, blessed driver, and bring him into the chariot. Another, his complaint was, he was afraid that he was not of the Lord's people. Christ said, stop, blessed driver, and bring him into the chariot. And there was another, and his complaint was that whoever would make heaven of it, that he was afraid that he would never make heaven of it. Christ said, stop, blessed driver, and bring him into the chariot. And in that symbolic way, the Reverend John McCrae was dealing with the fear, trials of those who are in the chariot, the fears and the temptations of his people, for these are their complaints. We don't find a worldly complaining of the Lord has forsaken him, or complaining of his want of love to the Saviour, or complaining that he's afraid that they never came to a true saving knowledge of the Saviour, and so on. These are the complaints of those who are in the chariot, who are saved by free and sovereign grace. And the Lord is saying to the Holy Spirit, bring him into the chariot. That was just the comforting, the encouraging of his own. And in connection with the trials and the fears, the Lord will be giving them tokens for good, that they are his, and that they are among those concerning whom he says, they shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, in the day of which I shall make up my jewels. And we shall now read the portions that bring before us the distinction between those who have a right to come and those who are not. Yes, we find that in the Epistle of Paul to the Galatians, chapter 5, verse 16. Verse 19, rather. Galatians 5 and 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they would do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. The letter of Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another. Again, in the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 5, verse 2, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart,